so excited. What a time we get to live in. What a time that we get to flourish in. You see, we're not living in fear. We're not living on the edge. We're living in fear. I'm sorry. We're living in faith in the name of Jesus Christ. We are living in such a way that everybody around us sees the difference because of what God is doing. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Mark chapter 6. Here's the announcements. Stand in faith. Walk by faith. Agree with the word by faith. There, you can all go home now. Oh, you are home. Never mind. But this morning, you know, I got a phone call this week from a pastor in India. And apparently their prime minister, president, he didn't share the information as quick as our president did or lock things down. And so they just found out about 4 days ago how bad this is as far as the spreading. And they're quarantined to their homes now until June. And so, you know, thank God we have leadership that shut things down and gave us a freedom still to walk around and to enjoy the lives that we live. But they're locked down till June, and if you go out on the street, then they bring out the canes to help you, and I should say encourage you to go back into your house. You know, we've got 15 days, they've got till June. So we need to really look and thank God for the leadership that we do have. Pray for them continually. And walk in the faith that God has given us through his word to transform our lives and the lives around us. You know, in times like these, many people feel powerless and many of them feel fearful, but that's not true. That's not true. You are not powerless. You are powerful, and fear has no place in our lives. You know, we can't control it. We don't know the end of it. We hear all of these things. And many have given the flu first place in their hearts. I want you to know, no one can be on the throne of your heart but the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever thoughts you've had from yesterday or maybe even this morning, maybe some of you are sitting there scrolling and even looking at the newest updates. Do me a favor. I've got three words. Shut it off. Shut it off. Open up the word of God to Mark chapter 6, and that's where we're going to start. All right. So if you would read with me in Mark chapter 6 and verses, we're going to start in 33 to 52. It says, the people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate. It is already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. He always comes up with one-liners, doesn't he? Jesus' one-liners stop everybody in their tracks, and they make everybody think, what is he talking about? What is he saying? What is he getting at? Where is he getting this from, and what are we supposed to do? But I want you to know God is always training us to take him at his word. He's the God of his word, and he never changes. Jesus said, you give him something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to sit down by groups on the green grass, and they sat down in the groups of hundreds and fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. And after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. At about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them. He intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out. for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And then he got into the boat with them and the wind stopped and they were utterly astonished. For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is so rich. Your word brings life. Your word brings strength. Your word brings healing and deliverance. Your word transforms every single life that agrees with it. And Father, today we agree with your word as we look at it. We agree that you're the God who is able. In every situation, in every circumstance, you're able. Father, we trust you today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. What we want to look at this morning is in Mark chapter 6 and verse 52, it says, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. And in the King James Version, it says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. And also, I want to read it in this version, just because I just love the way that it says it. It says, because they failed to learn the lesson of the miracle of the loaves, and their hearts were unwilling to learn the lesson. And so today, I believe that what God wants, he wants us to look at the lessons. Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever lived. And he always taught and he always brought everybody through the lessons that he wanted to show them. And, you know, when man saw the impossible, now they saw the impossible in the beginning with the five loaves and the two fish. And they all looked at it and said, well, how are we going to send them away? And the wonderful thing about Jesus, what he does in every one of our lives, is he removes the impossible. No matter what you're thinking right now, no matter what you're doing, I want you to know, whatever you see as impossible, Jesus wants to remove it. That's what he was teaching the disciples. He wanted them to see that faith in him removed the impossible in their lives. Whether you look at your marriage, your finances, maybe even the time of being quarantined for a little bit, you shrunk your circles because we can still go out, you know, and so many people, they get overburdened in their mind because they don't just take what we're given, that you can still go to the store, you can still walk outside, you still do all of these things. And they take quarantine, that word, and they ride it, and it builds them and sort of paint themselves into a corner, and they feel like they're trapped. You're not. You're not trapped. You're free in the name of Jesus Christ. And we still have the freedoms to walk around, but one of the things that Jesus always does is he removes the impossible. So I want you to think about the one thing that you've been struggling with that you feel like has been impossible. Maybe you've been praying for something for a while. Maybe you've tried something several times, and yet you still can't seem to get victory in it. I want you to know today Jesus is going to remove the impossible from your life because he's the God that makes all things possible. We just sang that song, he's the God of the wind and the waves. His name is above every one of them. So his name is above impossibility. Jesus was creating in the disciples a new reality. We all have a reality that we grew up with. We grew up in our family, in our homes. Our parents told us what reality was, right? At least sometimes. Sometimes they stretched things out and we found out, well, maybe that's not quite reality. Things that we were allowed to watch. That when I was little, I remember one of the things my father let us stay up and watch. Mom, we would go to bed, mom would go to bed, and then James Bond would come on. And my father loved watching James Bond. So then he would come in and say, hey, boys, you want to come and watch James Bond? And so we would come out of our rooms quiet. We would sneak through the kitchen, and we would lay on the floor right close to the doorway in case mom got up, because then you had to run back to bed because dad didn't want to get caught. But we were allowed to watch James Bond. Listen, it wasn't true what was going on, but in our young minds, man, we thought that that was the coolest thing. That was true. These things were really happening, and it just mesmerized you when we were really young. But I want you to know, God, in that all that fantasy and that foolishness that man creates, God wants to change and give you a new reality this morning. He wants to remove the impossible so that the impossible becomes possible. That's the new reality. That's the place that he wants to bring every single one of us. You see, what looks impossible for man, like with the virus, it's not. It's possible with God. All things are possible. So therefore, we can walk in victory all the way through because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of those stripes and the power of the blood. But so many people say, oh, I don't know if that's enough. I want you to know this morning, it's enough. Those stripes, that blood is enough. But what is going to be your confession? What's a decision that you're going to make? Because one of the two is going to frame our lives. One of the two is going to frame, our confession is going to frame our entire lives. My confession is that my God is able. My confession is that his stripes were enough for my healing. My confession is that that blood was enough to wash away all of my sins. My confession is that I'm no longer under any condemnation from anything I've done since right now. Right now, right up to this moment, I am not condemned by God in any way, shape, or form over my life. I am free to dance and to shout because it's a new reality that the word of God has brought into our lives for those that believe. And he said it's only for them that believe. So the issue is, do you believe? Because if you believe the word of God, you're going to step into impossible situations and bring life and peace and joy and faith into many people's lives. So the issue with the Lord had nothing to do with the crowd or the lack of food. Jesus wasn't intimidated by the crowd. I'm not intimidated by the crowd that's here this morning. All 10 of them, all right? I'm not intimidated by the crowds that are in your pajamas in your houses, okay? That doesn't intimidate because we can't see you. So we're not intimidated. Jesus wasn't intimidated, I mean, by the crowds or the lack of food. He didn't even look at it. He wasn't paying much attention to it. The only thing he did was say, hey, what do you have? Go get it. He had no doubt in his mind what the possibilities were. Why? Because the impossible never came into his mind. He never thought about it being an impossible situation. And so he was training his disciples. He was just using this for training. And he said, okay, go get the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And then 5 and 2 became over 5,000 and 12 baskets. That's God's math, and it's beautiful. So now it's the impossible becomes not only possible, but it becomes an abundance with God. Can I tell you, with his grace, there's an abundance. There's more than you have need of right now for your life in every area that you're walking in. There's more. When you say, yeah, but I don't know, that's because you don't agree with the new reality that God has brought into our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, look, I know that you're walking according to the natural things of this world, but I'm going to send my son down. He's going to teach you that the new reality is a reality of faith. It's a reality of all things that become possible now. So when the rest of the world looks at it and sees hopelessness, you see nothing but hope. When they see nothing but failure, you see nothing but success. Because through Jesus Christ, we can do all things. You know, the issue was the transformation of his disciples from thinking about the natural side of things or looking at the natural side and stepping into the spiritual side. They were looking at, how do you multiply 2 fish? Well, you put them in a tank, you leave them alone for quite a while, and then you'll have a few of them, but it's going to take a while, and then they grow up. That's the only reality that they had on multiplying or producing enough fish. Their thoughts were, we got to go down and we got to buy all the fish that they just caught today in the Sea of Galilee. We've been to the Sea of Galilee. We've had Peter's fish over there. It's incredible when they deep fry it. I don't know if they were deep frying back then. But we've had the fish. They were thinking, we got to find enough fish to feed all of these people. And Jesus said, wait a minute. I don't want you looking at the natural side of things. I want you to see how when we pray, and we bless it in the name of the Lord our God, that our God comes on the scene and he meets our needs. He was training his disciples. And so he wanted to bring them from one thought process into another. And it's amazing how, as we read, you know, that they had not gained any insight, or for they had considered not the miracle. And that consider, that word consider in the Greek, it means to put together. That's all it means. They didn't consider, they didn't know how to put the two together. And you know what? Even before the bread, Jesus earlier in the chapter, he sent them out how? Does anybody remember how he sent them out? 2 by 2, right? And what did they do? Well, they healed the sick, they cleansed the leper, right? They drove out the demons. Here's all the authority that God gave them. They just got back, and we're boasting about this. As soon as he got done telling Jesus all the stories, he said, hey, come away with me. Come on, we're going to go find a spot for you guys to rest. You can't even get food because everybody's asking to get healed. The five loaves and the two fishes, another miracle Jesus does in their lives, right before their very eyes. And then he puts them on the boat, and all he does is walk on water. Not that big a deal. I'm expecting everyone in this room to enjoy that liberty that you have at one time in your life. Everyone watching, I'm expecting you to enjoy that liberty at some time in your life. Jesus comes walking on the waves, and they freak out because they see him. And he said, because they did not consider all that God has done. And you know, I just think it's like a perfect time for a message like this, because so many people, they don't consider all that God has done in your life. We get into a situation like this, what's going on, which, you know, all the nonsense on the television. I need to tell everybody watching again, shut off your phones. Get off the website checking on all the CDC stuff, all right? We're talking about the Word of God. I just want to remind you, because I know some have both of them going. He showed them the power of God to cast out demons. He showed them the power of God to heal the sick. He showed them the power of God to feed 5,000, over 5,000. That was just the men, so not the women and children. And they come up with basketfuls on top of that. Then he walks out on the water, and they lose their minds, and they think it's a ghost. Now, they're walking this closely with the Lord, and then the first time they see him, where? Out of a natural element of all they understand. Can I tell you, that's the biggest issue with the reality that God wants to bring each one of us into. You're going to have to step outside the realm of what your eyes have deceived you to say, that's the limit. There's some amazing inventors that looked at something and said, okay, but I think we can do this better. Some of them, whether they looked at a light bulb or whether they looked at the first car that was created, look at what we're driving now. Someone else looked at it and had a different reality or said, there's got to be more. And that's where we should be as Christians. No matter what you're looking at, wait a minute, there's something else that guides this natural world, and it's called the King of Glory. Amen? There's one that has created it. There's one that has formed it. There's one, he's the one that spins it on its axes, and therefore it's subject to the spirit world. The new reality is we are no longer the sons of this world, but we are the sons of God. We are not the sons of the first Adam, but we're the sons of the second Adam. We have stepped out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's given us a new name. Therefore, we have a new nature. Come on, tell me you got a new nature. All right, I got to get some feedback here. I'm not used to this camera stuff. We've got a new nature. That new nature brings you into a new reality. Whether you're going to confess that new reality or the old one is going to be up to you, because either you're going to walk by what you see, feel, hear, taste, and touch, or you're going to walk by what the Word of God says. The disciples, they drove out demons, they healed the sick, they watched the bread, Jesus walks on the water, and they still said, this is impossible. And Jesus was training his disciples, no, it's not. I was just going to go past you guys and wait on the other side, but since you're losing your minds, and I know you're going to tip the boat over without the waves because you're freaking out. He said, all right, I'll stop and I'll get in a boat with you guys. And then it just says that the winds and the waves stopped. Jesus was training them to get their eyes off of what's going bad and get their eyes on the one that is good. Get your eyes off of that which is failing, okay? I don't know what area of your life you're looking at right now that you feel like you have failed in, but I guarantee you, if you bring that under the subjection or the surrender of the Word of God, that which seemed to be, we counted all as loss, God is one who renews, restores, rebuilds. He's a God that takes a complete mess, such as myself. There's some others in here. You can't see them, but they were a mess too, all right? And then he can make something beautiful out of a mess. Now, you can claim whatever you want for your life, but Even now that my black eyes are just about gone, my wife still has to live with me, so I tell her that I'm beautiful. And so she has a warped idea of what really beautiful is, because I've been telling her this for 32 years. God wants to change your reality. He wants you to walk in a different reality. He wanted the disciples to walk. He said, okay, I showed you what you can do with your hands. I showed you what we can do when we honor God and we bless the bread. Now I want to show you that even the things that you see that you've never understood before, you didn't think it was possible. I want to show you how you can rise above every storm in your life. Every storm in your life, you can walk above it with me. You know, it's times like this where when we're walking in that, many forget the miracles that God has already performed in their lives. I want you to think about how many miracles God has already wrought in your lives. Today we were, or last night I was reminded that yesterday was 21 years since we started here. It was the 28th of March, 1999. This is the 28th, yesterday was the 28th of March, 2020. And then today, Pastor Romano, who he's here, yeah, I tried to tell him to stay home, but he just can't. He's a fanatic. He's out of his mind, okay? He's lost it. Come on up, Pastor. We got to let them see you on your spiritual birthday. 21 years? 22 years. So he's been in Christ now longer than he was out of Christ. Thank God, a new reality in the name of Jesus. Listen, we're still the family of God. We're still building the kingdom of God. 22 years of walking with Christ without stepping off, but pressing in more and more and more into the things of God. As a church, 21 years, we're pressing in more and more and more. As Ashley was playing the guitar, I remember when she first came here, she couldn't play the car radio hardly. But now she's up there worshiping God and singing with a beautiful voice, watching what God has done, watching all that he's performed. And I want you to think about the miracle. And I tell you, the day that you got saved, that was a miracle. That was an amazing miracle. Don't forget that moment. And how many more miracles have we seen since we've been here? Babies rescued into the house of God, into the kingdom of God. Sons and daughters being raised without fear, without stress, without anxiety, with hope in their future. Marriages repaired and made stronger. We've watched miracle healings taking place in the body of Christ. And I want you to not forget, you know, make sure that you consider as you're working through this or walking through this time, this is the issue. Consider every miracle he's already done, because this one's just a little miracle walking through this. Amen. Here's a miracle. Wash your hands. Why do we have to tell people to do that? Well, we do. Wash your hands. But I believe that God wants you to see all of your miracles so that you consider what he has done, because then perfect peace starts to rule your life. When you start looking at the miracles, you start looking at a new reality. You start looking at through the eyes of faith. You start looking at hope. You start seeing grace and sense it rising up on the inside of you. Grace to get through today with victory. Not just trying to trudge through like so many we hear about. Talking to people and they're just going down rabbit trails that have nothing to do with faith, because of a simple virus. I want you to think about the miracles that God has done in your life. Every single one of them. Every single one. Just think about them for a moment. So many times, we leave them out, what God has done. We leave them out, and we're striving for the next one, forgetting the last one. He proved his love for you in the last miracle that he did. He proved his power, that because you said, I believe, he washed away all of your guilty stain. That's power. Because no other person on the earth, no government on the earth, no entity on this earth can forgive you of your sins except the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through the power of that blood are sins washed away. That's powerful. You know, as we continually walk out into this, you've got to be reminded, consider this. Consider this. The impossible has become possible. your reality is greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Therefore, you never walk alone because he lives on the inside of you. He said that he gave you. All you had to do was ask for the Holy Spirit. The greatest power on the planet, the greatest person ever to come and dwell within you, the one who can guide, the one who can teach, the one who comforts. If you need comfort right now, all you got to do is call out to the Holy Spirit. All you got to do is talk with him. Spend time with him saying, listen, you've got to renew my mind in this time, in this era. And I want you to know that when your mind starts to get renewed, freedom starts to come into your life. When you start to meditate on what God has done and you start to join into that new reality that he has created called the kingdom reality, because he's already established his kingdom on the earth and we are to be representatives of that kingdom. So wherever we walk, we are to speak the faith or the words of that kingdom, the edicts of that kingdom, representing the king of that kingdom very well in all that we do. When we start to speak of a loss or of fear or anything else contrary to this new reality that he's brought us into, it's a kingdom reality. So the only thing we're allowed to say is what he said. And he never has said, you won't make it. This is too harsh. This is too much. It's overwhelming. Forget about it. You're going under. Nowhere in the Word of God does he say that. He said, you put your hand in mine, and I'm going to draw you in to my shelter. And we said that last week about Psalms 91. We come into that place of shelter of the Almighty. I want you to know that that shelter is impenetrable. Where God is impenetrable. Darkness does not invade the light. Amen? Darkness cannot invade that light. And when you come in to that secret place, when you come in to that intimate place with the Father, the whole new thought process, impossible, possible. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. We're reminded of God starts to flood our souls with how he has kept us, how he has made a way where there seemed to be no way, how he has brought our marriages through it from strength to strength, how he has now renewed our minds daily where no longer does condemnation come in, no longer does fear come in, no longer do we feel like we're going to fail, but now we agree that with Jesus Christ, we're going over and we're not going under, amen? We say it all the time here at the church that you're to doubt your doubts because they're unreliable. And for the ones sitting here, they heard it many, many times. But for some out there, you may never have heard it. Doubt your doubts, for they are unreliable. Doubt your fears, because most of them, I don't know how many times I've gone to bed over the years. The other night, two nights ago, I woke up. I don't know what was happening. But I had this picture of this thing. It was brown about this long, and it had all these spikes coming out of it, and it was spinning coming through our bedroom. And I jumped up. I turned the light on. I was trying to find it. I was dreaming. I woke my wife up. She said, please turn off the light. I was looking for it after I turned the light off. So I don't know how your nights go, but my wife doesn't get a sound of sleep as many women do. But I know that sometimes I've gone to bed. Maybe this isn't you, maybe it is. And I lay there restless. And I start pondering things that I think are going to go awry. I start thinking thoughts that are not of God. How, if this doesn't go right, and if this doesn't go right, this is going to go, and then it's going to, we're not going to have the money for the bills, or we're not going to have this, or this child, or whatever it is. Next thing you know, I'm laying there, and sweat is coming off of me. Because I'm being consumed with a wrong thought. And I go to sleep, I wake up thinking about it again sometimes. And it's bothering me. And I'm praying and I'm trying to get my breakthrough. And I finally fall asleep and I wake up in the morning and guess what? It was all a waste of time. Because God's still on the throne. He walked me through another day. But I entertained a thought, a noema, right? A thought from Satan. And that doubt came in. And it just started to play on a thought. And all of those thoughts were a waste of time, a waste of energy. I wake up in the morning, I'm exhausted. The sheets are soaked because I've been sweating all night, worrying and fretting about it. And for what? For no reason whatsoever, except I couldn't get a thought out of my head. And I want you to know, many times over my life, I've had those issues. And they've never come to pass. All the things that I've fretted about, by the time I woke up in the morning, I was refreshed. The Bible says that weeping comes in the evening, but joy comes in the morning. And I want you to know, I don't know what yesterday brought, but there's joy in the house of God this morning. Joy, the word of God allows joy to rise up on the inside of us. So doubt your doubts, because they're unreliable. Doubt your fears. Most of the things that you fear are never going to happen to your life. 99.5% of the time, or 99.9% of the time, those thoughts that you have will come to nothing, and you've wasted time on them. So I want to encourage you, because just like Jesus was training his disciples, the word of God is training us now. Jesus is teaching us the same thing. He said, look, I've given you the authority, every single one that knows the name of Jesus Christ. I've given you all authority to cast out demons. I've given you authority to heal the sick. I've given you the authority to walk in your freedom. I've given you my righteousness, right? Because the Bible says that we are the righteousness of Christ, right? We have received the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness is perfect, and it's for every single one that calls upon his name. But we're going to have to go back and consider those things that are eternal. The word of God, the word is, it's like God. The word is eternal. It never fades, it never ends, it never stops, right? It cannot be destroyed. He watches over it, his word says, to perform it. Look, God wants to perform his word in each and every one of us. He's just looking for somebody to believe him, to step out and say, okay, yep, we saw the healing. Yep, you fed us very well in America here. We've been fed very well. And we've seen some miraculous things in our lives. He said, good, now I want you to go and do them. And most people say, well, I don't know if that's for me, Lord. He said, no, it's for everyone that calls on the name of the Lord. That kind of power and that kind of authority is for every single one that calls on the name of the Lord. By his word you were created, and now he is building himself in you through his word. That's what he's doing. That's what Jesus was doing with the disciples. Every day that he taught them and trained them, he started to build them up and train them. He started building himself on the inside of them, right? And I love how the scripture says there in Mark chapter 6, where he said that... right after the miracle happened, immediately, he said he put them in a boat and they left immediately. He didn't want them focusing on the miracle. He wanted them focusing on what they learned from it. He didn't want the miracle to be the focus. He said, yeah, these are the things that you can do in this new place that I want you to walk in called my kingdom. He said, look, you went out there, you healed the sick, you drove out them. Yep, okay, come on, let's take a break. I need you guys to rest. Okay, now we fed the 5,000. Hang on, let's get out of here immediately. I'm training you that this is a lifestyle. Wow, that was quick. I'm training you that this is a lifestyle. They just cut the time down by 15 minutes for those that are watching. But he's training them in a lifestyle of liberty in the Spirit of God. And that's what he wants for each one of us. When we read the word of God, and when people's lives were changed, what did he tell them? Go and steal no more. Don't charge more than you're supposed to. Take care of the widows and the orphans. See, he was saying, yeah, these miracles are going to follow you everywhere you go. Get ready. I want these miracles happening in your life. And I want these to follow you, but I don't want them to be the focus. So as soon as they were done feeding everybody, they saw the miracle. He said, come on, get in the boat. We're going to go to the other side. We're going to take a walk. We got to get out of here. We got to get away from these people, get a rest. But I also don't want the miracle to be the focus. I want me to be the focus, he said. I want you looking at me all the time. I don't want you to be looking at what I can do. I want you just looking at me. Because if you look at what I can do, the minute you don't get what you want, you take your eyes off of that. And then you put it back on yourself and you try to do it in your own strength. But he said, I want your eyes on me. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to cast out demons. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to feed the poor. You're going to take care of the widows and the orphans. Look, here's what we don't want you to do anymore. Don't steal no more. How hard is that? It's very difficult for so many people, right? Hey, don't charge more than you're supposed to. All those guys out there would, truckloads of hand sanitizer right now. and everything else that people have tried to, you know, they found what? 240-foot containers full of toilet paper that somebody stole. These times are tough right now, I'll tell you. But he said, look, if you're going to walk with me, don't steal no more because that's detrimental. I don't want you to charge more than you're supposed to. Honor your mother and father. Take care of the widows and the orphans. He was very practical in the way that he taught his disciples. But yet, he produced miracle after miracle. And so I want you to know, God wants to do miracle after miracle in your life. The issue to consider is to put together. I don't know what's been going through your mind this past week. But, you know, I know that he has kept you this week. I know that he's provided for each and every one of us this week. I know this week that my salvation is complete and is taken care of. I know that my healing is complete all through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. And by those stripes, we've been healed. He sent his word to heal us. And we're going to walk in strength all the way through. I know this week that his provision has already been there. He has given us the provision. We fed, how many people? About 120 families. Over 300 people we fed on Friday. And guess what? There's more left. His provision is more than enough. We're watching God multiply things all the time. And I know that I have the gift of the Holy Spirit this week. And because of that, I'm comforted this week. Because of that, I'm strong this week. Because of that, I have wisdom this week. Amen? Because whoever has it, we're going to walk in the wisdom of the Spirit of God. And if we're walking according to the Spirit, there's wisdom in every situation. You know what? We've had that this week. And he's kept us and he's watched over us. We must look at his word in our from our prior days and always put that together, you know, for all the insight that we can gather from it. We should all be free from fear and sickness as we are free from condemnation and sin. Amen. Right? Condemnation and sin, condemnation and sin in one hand, fear, sickness in this hand, they both come from the same one. They come from the liar, the deceiver, he who has been cast down, whose sham authority has been ripped away from him because he no longer has dominion over you. Sin no longer has dominion over you. So when you think, wait a minute, there's no condemnation, right? And no sickness can come nigh my dwelling. It's all wrapped up in the redemption that we've received through the blood of Jesus Christ. One of the things that we see is... You know, he's building himself in us. He's building himself in us. And I really want you to see that. Every time you read his word, I want you to see he's building himself in you, line upon line, precept upon precept. He said, consider this. I've supplied it all. Consider this. I've done miracle after miracle. Consider this. I'm building myself inside of you. Every time you take one word from my word and you ingest it and you say, that's what I'm building my life on. That is another brick in the wall that I'm, nothing to do with Pink Floyd, but that's another brick in the wall that God is building in your life. You know what? His strength is your strength. Now that you are in Christ, his strength is your strength. Well, I'm weak. No, you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So we're going to have to agree with that. We've received that all through our righteousness, which we are the righteousness in Christ. We've received the same righteousness as Christ has. So therefore, everything that you put your hands to, you're going to prosper according to the word. So his strength is our strength. His ability is our ability. Therefore, the impossible has become possible. Amen? Therefore, the miraculous is just a natural way of living for each and every one of us. His health is our health. Look, there's no sickness in eternity. There's no sickness in God or Jesus Christ. That was all placed upon Jesus, and he dealt with it once and for all. And 2,000 years ago, the scripture says, he dealt with our sins, and he dealt with our healing. And his ability is ours. Ah, right, Albert Willis, right? He always had that saying, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat rider. And I want to encourage you. You see, you have a new ability because everyone that walks in the Lord Jesus Christ and agrees with the Lord Jesus Christ, every single one, he wants them, you have the ability to walk on water. You have the ability to do the impossible. You have the ability because Christ lives on the inside of you, not to be intimidated by the things that are in front of you. And I just want to encourage you this morning, our confession either imprisons us or it sets us free. Your confession this morning, either you're going to be a wet water walker or a dry boat rider. Let's get out of the boat. Let's step out into what God has promised us and what he's spoken over our lives. For you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You truly are free indeed this morning. You're free. You're free, but your confession is going to either bring you to a place of freedom or it's going to bring you to a place of bondage. I want you to know, everybody that's here, oh, there's the masses have gathered here in the house of God today. Well, actually, there's as many people as when we started here, back in the house of God today. But you know what? There's enough that are represented here today that we're just serving in the house of God to transform the world. And then if we all join together, each and every one of us, the transformation just grows wider and wider and wider. We're hearing testimonies every day of how someone, the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, is being sown into their lives. Faith is starting to rise up, and they're starting to consider what God has said. I was watching this thing, and it caught my eye. The guy's not even a Christian. But he said something that really stuck with me. And I said, I'm going to do that. He said, today, I'm going to talk to whoever I want to talk to. He said, whoever it is, how many meetings have I missed? How many opportunities have I missed to meet nice people or to find out where people are from? But I walked by him. He said, today, I'm going to talk to whoever I want to talk to. And I thought, how liberating is that? If we would all have that same thought process, whoever you want to. It isn't something that, oh, hang on, I got to wait, I got to see. No, whoever you want to talk to, just go talk to them. But we only have one message, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's him crucified, him resurrected, and him seated on the throne of God. So I want to encourage you this week, because you're free, because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away your sins, because there's no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ, because miracles are to be wrought through the sons and daughters of God. Why? Because he's building himself on the inside of us. Therefore, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. Go talk to whoever you want to talk to. You're the king's kids. You're the ambassadors. You're the ones that he has set free. You're the ones that are going to change the world. That's who we are this morning. So this morning, as we close, and I know I have to close because the clock is in the negative all of a sudden, and it's going red. I guess that means that's the end. But I want to encourage you, for those of you that are watching, maybe you don't understand the realities that we're talking about today. Maybe you haven't experienced the freedom that I'm talking about. Listen, I have great freedom in Christ. We've traveled the world. We built churches around the world. Pretty much everyone in here has been with us on a mission trip. Almost everyone. Cliff. But because we're free and we're not afraid, and when God says, go ye into all the world, we've taken so many teenagers, over 400 people we've taken off into the mission field, building churches, medical clinics, schools, whatever God wants. Because of the freedom that he's given us, he said, I've created this whole world for you. Please go and enjoy it. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, I want you to agree with me. The Bible says if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that he is, you shall be saved. So this morning, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born, he was crucified, he was raised on the third day, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And God is going to transform your life. He's going to bring you into a right relationship with the one who created you. He's going to destroy the walls that you've had around your heart. He's going to bring people into your life, because you're going to join us not only here, but one day you'll join us in this building, and we'll be able to give you a hug and encourage you. We'll be able to give you a high five instead of just an air five. We'll be able to be a blessing than more than just coming to you via the internet. But if that's you this morning and you're not sure what happens when you close your eyes here for the last time, I want you to know you can be sure. No other religion gives you the surety that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. You never have to worry about death any longer. You never have to fear it any longer, because he has overcome death, hell, and the grave by the power of his love towards us. So this morning, if you've never said, Jesus, come into my heart, I need you to be the Lord of my life, I want to pray with you right now. Let's agree in prayer. Father, I thank you for the word of God. And today, I believe in my heart, and now I confess with my lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. I break every curse over my life, and I agree that I am free indeed, and I've got a new nature as a child of God. Thank you for bringing me into your kingdom and calling me your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if that's you and you prayed that prayer for the first time, give the church a call, 518-828-2444. We'd love to pray with you. We can send you a Bible. We can get you information to help you get you stronger in the Lord, because your Father loves you, he adores you, and he's got a plan for you. God bless you. God bless every single one. Be reminded that he is building himself in you. The impossibilities have become possible. The miracles that he has done yesterday, he's going to do even more in the future. Don't lose sight of them, because he wants you to be encouraged, and he wants to show you, wait a minute, I'm the God that has carried you all the way through, and I've got more for you to do. So let's go change the world. Let's walk by faith. There's no condemnation in your life any longer. Sin has no control over you any longer. Fear is broken in the name of Jesus. It's a spirit, and we just say, get out in the name of Jesus. And your healing comes now in the name of Jesus. God bless you, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that went forth today. And Lord, we agree that you're training each and every one of us. Father, we have seen it time and time again. Let us not be like them who did not consider, who did not put things together, those who kept on looking at the natural and have been overwhelmed by it. Father, we want to walk in the Spirit. Therefore, we want to agree with your word. We want to walk in a reality that is possible in every situation. Father, today, we come before you, and we thank you for bringing your kingdom not only onto this earth, but depositing your kingdom on the inside of each one of us. Father, today, we walk in fullness, the wholeness, free, and according to your word, so that the whole world would hear of the glory of our God and his loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.